As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
To hold you, I will be the one to hold you in my heart.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. How are you doing this evening, Cheryl?
I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm doing fine. I was trying to give a little time to get more of our family on. Were you able to watch that video I sent you?
Okay. It was two of them, right?
Right. The one with the man driving a, I think they call him an ATV or AT, it's ATM maybe. I'm not sure.
ATV. My son said ATV.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, you know, Cheryl, one of my major problems with us having to train our children how to behave when they are accosted by police officers is that I truly believe that when everybody don't have the same rights and don't have the ability to speak up for themselves in a situation, and I believe in being treating the police officers as professionals, and I believe in having the ability to talk to people, because you're a police officer doesn't mean that a citizen shouldn't be able to talk to you and suggest to you that he did nothing wrong. But the problem is when we started, when we start acting like second-class citizens, you'll not only have police officers who think they can treat you inappropriately, you start having citizens think they can treat you inappropriately. And I wanted to share that video with everybody just to show them that was this past Labor Day, where a man who him and his friends are able to buy these kind of vehicles. That means they have to be people of some substance. I'm sure those vehicles cost several thousands of dollars. And they're just out enjoying their holiday. And this white gentleman who happens to be a corrections officer, who has no right to arrest or apprehend anybody, decides he's going to intervene and impose his will on the citizens. And so it is my concern when you start reducing people of color to second-class citizens, then you have other citizens who think they can just step up and put them in check.
You know, I thought this was outrageous. This man is not even a cop. And for him to engage in anything with this other man, I mean, I thought that was absurd. I mean, who is that bold enough to do it and then to go to his vehicle and get a gun? I mean, where is this coming to? And then to portray himself as some type of law. And I mean, I just thought that was, it's like, can he really get away with this? And he's only on he's on leave right now, right? How long has it been since Labor Day? Since the just the end of
the
last
first of the
month?
Right.
Oh, the first of the month. Yeah,
right.
I don't even know what on leave. I mean, they got witnesses, and I guess they got to go through the proper procedures as far as what they're doing, but I mean, I just thought this was ridiculous. So, but here's the thing. It starts to plant in the minds of other individuals. If he can get away with it, we can get away with the same thing too.
And that's what I'm saying to you. This was not a public street. I mean, this wasn't like it was a city area. This was in Alaska in a rural area. He showed the video where he was going. He wasn't even when he could have been in the road, he He was going on the side of the road on the grass. And this man, when the man pulled up, he initially tried to get him to go on, giving him the right of way. So he wasn't going so fast that he couldn't stop to give him the right of way. But it just seemed like this dude wanted to impose his will on these group of black guys. And initially, when the black guy got the best of him with the little pushing and shoving, he said he'd go to his truck and pull a gun on him and make him get on the ground like he was a true police officer. And so, to me, these are the kinds of cases that you really have to make an example of these people, because you have to send a message to everybody else that you can't just impose your will on other people because you think you're law enforcement. Because if you give law enforcement too much power, they're going to be regular people who think they got power to do the same thing.
Yeah, that whole thing was just totally ridiculous. I mean, to me, is that he had an agenda. He had no reason to stop this man, none at all. I mean, this had nothing to do. He had no legal authority to do that, to misrepresent himself. That, you know, and these are the kind of things that plant in the minds of other individuals when they see this, and especially of our young people that are coming up. You know, the same way that they get things off of TV is the exact same thing. They try to follow a model after other things that they see. And I just can't, you will hope to think that things like this is really not going on, that this person could not have been that bold to do what he actually did. But he did it. I mean, he did it, and they had witnesses.
And he had a videotape. He put the man on the ground and started to asking him questions. Like, you have now taken authority over this man's life. You have decided that what you want to do is more important than this man's freedom. And again, speeding on that road is subjective. You've decided that you're the judge. You made the determination that he was going too fast. You made the determination that you were going to stop him and detain him and then put him on the ground at your mercy.
Exactly. I just thought that whole situation was ridiculous. I'd love to know what the outcome of that actually is and how they determine, you know, the outcome. That would be really interesting to follow through with that.
And those are the kinds of things that, see, they keep building on each other. That didn't jump into that man's head in a vacuum. He came to believe that he had the right and the ability to govern his neighborhood in that fashion against this man. And so, you know, we see that just like Trayvon Martin, this could have been another Trayvon Martin incident where his mind could have told him he could have came out of that truck and started shooting.
You're right. And I just thank God that it didn't escalate and that he didn't actually shoot the guy, because just like the guy was saying, all kind of things went through his mind, you know, as if his life was flashing before his, you know, before his very own eyes. But I don't know. It's like sometimes you just feel like when things happen like this, what can you do without any kind of altercation, you know, to go on? I mean, you can't even have fun. You can't, you know. I don't understand.
You feel like you're at the mercy of these people. Kathy, were you able to see the video? Are you there, Kathy? Kathy, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry about that. No, I wasn't able to see the video. How are you guys doing? Happy Monday. No, what's the name? Monday. Yeah,
why?
Happy Monday. No, I'm sorry.
Why am I unable to send to you? Did you get my text?
Yes, I got a text, but I wasn't able to see the video.
Okay. Well, you know that I'm not going to be able to share it with you as detailed as it was because it is just so graphic. But several black gentlemen in Alaska, and we know how rural Alaska is. Alaska is a rural place where a lot of people have ATMs, and they're on back roads, and they're in areas that there's just not a whole lot of people. And this area during Labor Day was one of those areas where a group of black men were out on riding their ATMs to a friend's house, and they were driving on the dirt beside the road. But then eventually they got into an area where they had to be on the road, and they came to a crossing where a white man was in a truck, and he crossed the street blocking the roadway. And the black gentleman tried to tell him to come on. He was going to let him pass and give him the right of way. Well, the white gentleman told him to come up to where he was, beckoned him to come up to where he was. And he started telling him that this was not a raceway. And grabbed hold of the man's ATM and was chastising him about the speed that he was traveling. Well, the black gentleman then pulled his hand away from his ATM and pushed him away. And when he got the best of the man in this pushing contest, neither one of them got pushed to the ground, but he kind of just shoved the white gentleman backwards. The white gentleman went to his truck and pulled out a gun and made the black gentleman get on his knees as though he was a police officer. He was a correction officer, but he was not a police officer. And the story went on to tell us that he had no right or authority to detain anyone outside of his corrections facility, and that he had no reason or authority to stop citizens and put them on the ground. And so the black gentleman, when the Alaskan police came, had him charged, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. He's been suspended at this point from his job. But the reason why I sent that out to everybody was because, you know, we talk a lot about how we're supposed to behave with police officers, but what I've always had a concern was when you start acting like second-class citizens as though you don't have any rights, there are going to be other white people who think they have the right to detain you and to chastise you because, you know, they think now they're in authority. And so we have to be concerned about how we're being treated by white America in general when we're giving up our rights to police officers to even discuss how they are detaining us and how they're treating us. And this could have so easily been escalated because this gentleman got out of his truck, cocked his weapon so that a bullet was ready to be fired, and made these men get on their knees and told them, get on the ground. And so obviously, this man somehow or another had told himself that he had the right to do this, despite the fact that he didn't. And so, you know, I wanted us just to discuss, where do we go from here if we mess around and give too much of our rights away and people start thinking they can treat us any kind of way?
Well, James, it's like you said, this to me is an individual thing. And even as we go out into the streets every day, it doesn't have to be police officer, but it's people in general. When you're in certain places, people believe that they have a privilege to go first, to step on the elevator first, for you to move back, for you to allow them to go into the store, for you to move off of the side of the sidewalk. It's just something that it seems as though it's been instilled into their brain. But as an individual, you have to let them know that, no, it's not like that. I'm going into the store first because I was here first. I mean, sometimes you could be a little courteous, and we've talked about that not only on the show, but even amongst friends and family, how when you're in certain places, it just seems as though certain people believe that they have what word am I looking for? They have
not a privilege, but it's just, I mean, I don't want to use privilege, where
they have like more authority than you do, or they're the ones that have to be first, or, you know, we have to move out of the way because they're coming through. But that's not it. We all are individual human beings. And if I'm at the counter first, then I should be served first. And even though we see it happen all the time, even when you're checking into hotels, we saw that when we were on vacation, how we were sitting at the counter waiting for the guy to come over to us, and somebody else walked up, and the guy went over to them. I was like, excuse me, we were here first, you know. So, I mean, and sometimes you say, oh, it's okay, go ahead. But then sometimes you got to stand up and say, no, I was first, so I need you to address me first, not second, not last, but, it, you know, recognize me. I'm here. We're right here, you know, and there should be no little I and no big you, but we're all the same if I was here first.
And you're so right. You know, you can't tolerate that because it'll continue to go on and on and on. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about. And Cheryl, what are your thoughts about what Cassie is talking about? Because sometimes when you go in the store, you have people who sometimes will merge in and think they have a right to step in front of you, or somehow or another deserve to get the attention of the clerk or someone when you've been waiting there. And these are the kind of little small things that kind of seep into our society. And then all of a sudden you find out that people have decided that somehow or another there's some unwritten rules that allow them to have a certain right.
Oh, I mean, you know, we find that in just everyday living. Just being courtesy when interacting with them in certain situations. And, you know, sometimes when I look at them, is that they feel, because, you know, a lot of them were raised that way, it's normal to them. They don't see anything wrong with it. So we can see what's wrong with it. But, they, you know, I can say when I walk past some, I can speak and I can say good morning, good noon, or good evening, and as if I didn't say anything. And if I'm with somebody and I'll say, did y'all hear me say something? And they'll say, yeah. And, you know, right then and there, I know they heard. I mean, I already know that they heard me, but they think less of me and not enough to exchange a greeting or anything. And I mean, that's just a minor thing, but they do so on so many other different levels that this is something that they're accustomed to, you know. And not that we should totally be shocked by it, because, you know, this, like I say, this is just, the majority of them just been raised like that, to look at us as being so beneath them and disrespectful toward us. You know, even I can even say, you know, I have a habit of opening the door for somebody, holding the door open if somebody's behind me. And they'll just walk right on through the door, never grab the door or anything, and won't say thank you or nothing. And I'll just say, you're welcome. And that's it. Sometimes it can be really funny.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's just unnerving. I could not have imagined, because I have never had a gun pulled on me, and I've never had been in fear of my life being taken, and I thank God for that. But once you are there, you know, we have to come to a realization. When people pull a gun on you inappropriately, they need to be dealt with, because that is not just a casual thing. Lives that are taken too easily when guns are involved, and we cannot just let people haphazardly believe that they can just go get a weapon and not truly think out what it is they're about to do. And so we want everyone to feel comfortable protecting themselves. But Kathy, I just want you to know, if you would see this video, you would see that this black man did nothing that would require escalating this situation to the point of somebody getting a gun. But this man got a gun because he wanted to be completely in control. He wanted there not to be any doubt to who was going to make the decisions related to the orders. And when he went back to his truck, he got the gun and then he even loaded it, meaning that he put a bullet in the chamber. So there was no doubt in that black man's mind that all that was required after he chambered that weapon was to pull the trigger. And so he had to be, now that's being in fear of your life. Because here you got a man you don't know who accosts you and stops you from going on your way. He pulls out a weapon that could easily kill you. You don't have a weapon. You have no type of protection. And he points his weapon in your direction and forces you and others around you to get on the ground. So this man needs to be taken to task, and not just giving a slap on the wrist, because people around him need to know that there is a serious punishment for stepping outside of your bounds. Now, if I go outside this door and I portray myself as a police officer to anybody and I detain them, I'm going to jail. So why should a correctional officer be treated any differently? Kathy?
Yeah, James, first we have to get these police officers in line. Oh, my God. I mean, no, they shouldn't be treated any different. And I just believe from watching the news and even from watching when you're out and about, there is a I don't know if it's like a glare or a glass around us where when people see us, they're intimidated. I don't know if it's from the media, from them hearing and seeing things, where when they come in front of you, there's just a different face that is put on, where it seems as though they're very intimidated about how we look, how we stand, if we're tall and dark, if we're light and dark. I mean, light and tall, but there's it looks to me as though there's an intimidation, or they're afraid, or don't know if the stigma is true, or if what people say about us is right, that we're angry and that we get, you know, we've been in, for the last couple of days, a couple of my friends, we've been in these different places where we're surrounded by multicultural people, and the Caucasian people seem as though they are very intimidated by us. But as always, you know, I start the conversation off, hi, how's everybody doing? It's a great day. You know, to try to get them to unfreeze because it's like they're froze in the moment, you know. And then once you break the ice with them, then it's a little bit, I mean, they open up a little bit, but they're still a little bit standoffish. So first we need to get them to understand that we are not animals, that we are human beings just like them. We just have a different color on the outside, and that first they need to learn to know us in order to understand us. Because I don't think they really understand us, you know? I really don't.
Dee, let me ask you, were you able to see the video that I sent you with the man on the ATM and being held at gunpoint by a correctional officer?
No, James, I apologize. I did not get a chance to see it.
Okay, well, let me just quickly share it with you. During Labor Day, a gentleman and a group of his friends were riding in Alaska. Now, I want you to understand this is in Alaska where it's a rural area and people are very accustomed to seeing these ATMs. And he, ATV, I just keep, ATM is the bank thing, ATVs. Okay.
Right.
And so, this guy is on the dirt road. Initially, he's off on the side of the road, driving along the roadway, but he's on the dirt where he's supposed to be. And then he gets to an area where he has to be in the street. A white gentleman who's a correction officer pulls through the street to stop him. The man tries to wave him through, and he doesn't want to be waved through. He asked the black guy to come up to him. So the white guy waves the black guy up to him. At that point, he grabs the handlebars, and the black guy is tussling with him, but why are you grabbing my handlebars? And he's telling them this is not a speedway. And so on his own, the white gentleman decides that he's going to make a determination about what is fast or too fast for the road. And he... when he loses the battle of the pushing and shoving, he goes to his truck and gets his weapon and makes the black guy and everybody with him get on the ground. Once the, and the guy has been suspended from his correction officer duties, and the black guy was able to charge him or make a complaint. But the point is, we've talked about being second-class citizens. And now we go from not only the police wanting to dictate our comings and goings, but citizens feeling comfortable dictating our comings and goings. And at what point do we say, hey, enough is enough? This black gentleman decides, you really need to look at the video, decides that he's in fear of his life because he has done absolutely nothing wrong. Him and the rest of his friends are just going to another friend's house, and he's being stopped by this white man at gunpoint and told he can't proceed in the fashion that he's proceeding. So it's just like, can you imagine your neighbor deciding that he's going to tell you how to live your life and what you're going to do and not do and feel comfortable dictating to you what the rules of law are?
Well, you know, Jane, you know, we've seen this time and time again, and hello, everybody. I'm sorry we're late getting on board today. We've seen it time and time again, and I can only attribute it to the mindset of what we've talked about earlier in the year. Safe answer, let's look at the fact that now y'all have to excuse me for bringing this up. But I think there's a correlation in what I'm about to say. They've always, like Ms. Kat say, always been intimidated by us, you know. But when the Donald Trump administration first ran, and the persona that it ran under by, you know, lock her up, kick his butt, kick his ass, get him out of here, all of that. we had said that they gave them carte blanche to start treating us the way they've always felt like they could treat us, like they always wanted to. The reason that they did not exhibit such a behavior is because of what they want to call political correctness. And had that been stewed up in them for so long, I mentioned that, the mindset and the attitude had already been started. Even if Trump was to be kicked out of office, and as we see now, he started to turn a pivot towards some kind of normalcy, if there is any such thing with him. But the harm has already been done. For you to tell me that this wasn't even a police officer, he's a correction officer, that goes to show that the damage has already been done. Your question is, where do we go from here, and how do we let them know that enough is enough? That is a question yet to be answered. I don't know how we're going to get back to some kind of norm where we can coexist in a world in 2017, because they act like it's still 1945 with that type of behavior. So it's crazy, and I don't have an answer for it.
I fully understand why there are white individuals who feel intimidated, but at the same time, there are some white individuals who feel emboldened, and they're looking for the opportunity to put a black man in check. You see what I'm saying? It's not like he went on this man's property, or he went, let me just give you for instance, a tree fell down in front of my house across the road, and people were going around the tree by going as close to the curb on the other side as they could to go around the tree. But there were other people who were driving up into my driveway and driving across my yard. And while I was out there looking, I was thinking to myself, that was a violation. You know, instead of you turning around, if you don't think you can get from past the tree, turning around and finding another way to get where you're going, you're going to decide that you're going to violate my property space and drive over my property to get where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I brought a tree, a large tree limb, and put it on the side of the road on my property, so that then if they wanted to drive on my property, they'd have to get out their car and move the tree limb. But I'm just saying, it wasn't like this man was violating his property. This man was driving in the road, and you're going to decide on your own, okay, I am going to dictate what is going to be tolerated on the city street. So you're going beyond anything that deals directly with you. You've decided that you're going to take responsibility, just like in the Trayvon Martin case, where he decided he was going to take responsibility for what happened in a neighborhood that wasn't his. And so we can't tolerate people treating us as though they can go outside of their own property and start dictating what happens on public property. Cheryl, what do you think about that? How he extended his control from his vehicle and from his own property to the city street?
Well, I mean, you're right that it can be done. I mean, it is done. But then what do we do about it? Because they have some bold individuals. I mean, he felt like he was defeated. And for him to go to his vehicle and, I mean, load the gun up and come back with the gun. So, I mean, what do we do? You know, we can say that we can set an example for one or two, but you know how many it is? It's so many. So, and you know, I think that Some of them are bold. Some of them fear us. Some of them, because they just don't give themselves the opportunity to even get to know us. I mean, to find out that we are human just like they are, just a different in shade. And why do you believe that you are so privileged that you can disregard our rights and take it upon yourself to do something that is, I mean, totally illegal? Just because, I mean, I don't even know what was going through that man's, you know, mind for him to even stop him in the first place, because he was not even a police officer. I mean, his job did not consist of him carrying a gun. He was not to correct anyone other than the people on his job. So, to me, he took this in his, I mean, took this matter, made up something in his own hands and portrayed himself to be something that he was actually not. But the question is, what do we do about it? Because it's so many. It happens so often.
And it's amazing. You know, Kathy, you know, if somebody's speeding up and down your street, violating the speed, you know, the laws of speed on your street, you take down their tag and you call the police and tell them you got a problem with one of the neighbors in your area who's doing something inappropriately. Now, why would you, any normal person, think it would be okay to go out and stop somebody, you know, put your hand up and make them stop, and then when they don't feel like complying, you go back in your house and get a gun and come back out? I mean, that takes a lot of nerve to believe that you have the right to do that when you know you're not a law enforcement officer. So it's almost amazing that he thought he was. Most of us know we're not. We can't do that. We can't go get in an argument with our neighbor and he don't agree with us. And so we go back in the house and get our gun and come back out. That is just not normal. Kathy?
I'm sorry, James. What's the question again?
In being normal, we know that, you know, you can't go out and impose your will on your neighbor. You can't then be upset about your neighbor not agreeing with you or complying with you and then go get a weapon to make him get on the ground. I mean, that just seems to me it should be automatic that this man should be charged with something and held accountable. I don't know what he can, it's assault with a deadly weapon. When you point a weapon at someone for no lawful reason, that's assault.
Absolutely it is. But again, we have to go back to who the players are. Remember, one day we were talking about who the players are, but we as a people need to come together more. I mean, oh my God, if we come together and stand more in peace, you know, in our protests in peace, then we'll begin to see these things change for us. Because not only us, but the people before us, the generations before us have been talking about this, meeting about this, protesting about this. What is it that the people don't understand that they cannot just do us any kind of way? You know, I can understand if we've done something wrong or if this man did something wrong, but like you said, he didn't do anything wrong. So why should he be treated this way? And why do we have to bow down in situations like this when we're approached by other people who say we've done something wrong?
Yeah, it is. I'm just going to, I'm going to try to email you and D this video, because until you see it, you were really not fully understand how this man felt. Because, I've never had a gun pulled on me. I've never had a knife pulled on me. I've never felt like my life was in jeopardy in any point in my existence. I've had car accidents. I've had, things of that nature. But I've never had anyone accost me or tell me that put me in a position where they had full control over my existence. And so, I don't know. D, have you ever experienced that?
No, James, I have not. Not in all my days, I have not. But I want to make about three quick points if I can, because Miss Kathy just said something that was very important. When she just said that we have to take actions, even in the way of protesting peacefully. Now, we've never had to express that before. The word, adding the adjective, doing it peacefully. We never had to say that before, because throughout our history, all our protests have been for the cause of bringing peace to our existence. It wasn't until Ferguson that the protest method as we know it had a violent nature to it. That's when Trump said in Charlottesville that there was violence on both sides. Because, you know, when, and this is what brought me to your show from the very beginning, when the concept of Black Lives Matter, they tainted that slogan, which could have been something that we could have used as our banner, if you will. But they tainted that slogan when they let a violent nature infiltrate their cause. See, since the Trump administration, we've heard a lot about this word, about this action of vetting people that are going to come into your cause. And so the organizer, when he started that movement, I don't know whether or not it was because they were so irate about what happened in Ferguson, but they should have vetted the people coming in and let them know that this is what we need to do. But I don't think they was adult enough to actually mentioned the fact that this need to be a peaceful movement. Because, you know, with the Dr. King efforts, they made sure that they understood that we are doing things peacefully. Now, they're going to arrest us. They're going to throw us in jail. But we are not going to strike back, because when we start to strike back, we are going to antagonize the situations. They would never listen to us. But if we let them do what they feel they need to do nonviolently, if they have to lock us up or things of that nature, then then we'll get the attention of the person necessary to try to get them to understand our cause. Secondly, real quick, Ms. Cheryl said a few days ago that, that she worked with some white persons, and it wasn't until they got to know her that they said, well, you're just like we are. And she was appalled and shocked by that. And the reason because of that is, they are brought up to think that we are something different than what we are. But when it comes down to the fact of a person putting a gun on you and making you lay down on the ground, the charge in that is called a terroristic threat. That's just like, I walk up to you and say, I'm going to kick your A-word. You can have me arrested for that, for terrorizing you or making you think that your life is in danger. So for this person to go to his car and get a gun and point at somebody and make people lay down on the ground, he did not even consider the consequences in doing such action. And so that's the point now. You know, they can rightfully buy guns because they don't have any blemishes on their records when they buy all these guns. That's one reason black people are so outnumbered when it comes down to weapons, because a lot of black people have some blemishes on their records and they can get guns like that. But they will soon find out that their actions would be terroristic actions, will put blemishes on their record. And so that's the difference, I do believe. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. Cheryl, you know, as we, you know, all of us have, are raising children or have raised children, and we want things to be different. But there seems to be so much in our society that is the same, and the fact that we in an environment that says we want America to be great again, I'm always questioning, great again how? Where is it that you want to go that would be satisfactory to you that might be detrimental to me? Where is it that you want America to go? And white America seems interested in taking us back to a time where they were the dominant figures in the American environment.
You're right. Great again for who? I can't remember when it was great for us. So I think that what they're referring to is great again for them. You know, and all of this, everything is taught. I can remember when I volunteered at the school for my son, and there was this white student and this black student. And the white little girl, she was real ugly to the black little girl. And I got them alone, and I just asked her, you know, why was she so ugly toward her? She said, because that's what my mama told me. I said, well, now look at her. And I had them face to face. And I said, all but the color of your skin. You may have different features, but the two of you both are people of the human race. And I said, do you like her? And she said, yeah. And by the time I finished with them, they were hugging. So I know this little girl went home very confused because her mama was teaching her one thing, but she had just learned something totally together, something different. And every day she had to see me because I volunteered every day for that entire year. They wind up being the best of friends, these two little girls. So, you know, it's actually confusing to the children and especially to her because she was being taught one thing and then she learned something different in the environment that she was in. And to me, it's something that's taught. Nobody's born like that. It's taught. So at what point are we going to, will they stop teaching this? And will they ever stop teaching? And what is it that we can do other than the things that we are, you know, already doing? I mean, how do we make a big change? We've been trying this for many, many, many years. And we have, I mean, we've come somewhere because everybody, I can say everybody don't feel the same way. But how can we change the majority? That's a question. I don't know.
I have to be honest with you. You know, I have not had the experience that a lot of people have had. When I look over the course of my life, there were a lot of opportunities for me to experience the ugliness of racism. But for some way, for some reason or not, it avoided me. And when I say that, because in 1967 or 68, or 69, I'm not really sure, I went to an all-white school where I was the only black there. And I had my issues, you know. I remember a little white boy telling me, I can have a white Christmas, you can't. And, I had some small skirmishes or conflict. But I used to walk around Pine Castle as though I owned it. I mean, I didn't feel like I couldn't go anywhere. I'd walk to my friend's house and walk around the neighborhood and went where I wanted to go and then came right back to the school where my mom was, or walked down the streets, or we rode bicycles all around Orlando. And I never got accosted by anybody or made to feel like I didn't have a right to be wherever I was. But it seems like this stuff is coming back, we see it now. Back then, you only had three channels, and so if you didn't see it personally or on those three channels, you didn't get to see it. But now we get to see it because if they don't show it on TV, they're going to show it on the internet. And then you're going to really be in trouble. So, you know, so the news really has to show a lot of the stuff that is dictated by the internet, because if they don't, then they won't become newsworthy. Kathy, you know, we see a lot of things now that were probably commonplace long before, but people are just now being able to see it over a greater number of people getting it, able to see it. And so things like this video may very well go viral as a result of people seeing it and being disgusted by it, which makes us all feel bad. I mean, I don't even know who this man is, but I feel bad for him that he had to get on his knees in front of this white man. And so this white man had authority over him, and I understood why he got on his knees. If somebody had put a gun to my head or pulled a gun on me, I would have felt like I had no other choice as well.
Well, James, I mean, we're discussing as a people every day about different stuff that we hear and see on TV and even on the internet. Again, it goes back to us coming together collectively. Like, I mean, so many people, when they see things or they hear about things, they say, oh, no, that's not for me. But it is for you. We do need to get involved. We do need to back our people when things are going on. When we have the information in front of us showing that this person was mistreated or this person was falsely accused, we need to stand behind those people. I mean, I don't know if Bill Cosby actually did what they said he did. Okay, so he did pay some people off, right? But if you pay some people off and that's supposed to be closed, why would they open that up again? I mean, even still today, the comedians, wow, they make jokes and stuff about what happened. But do we really know that he did that? Because everybody has just stepped back from him. I'm not saying that he didn't do it because I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm just using that as an example. And then another one is what's his name? Kaepernick. Another person. I mean, when he did that, he didn't do that just for himself. He did that for all of us. So whatever we need to do as a people, then we need to stand to help the cause. I mean, even Black Lives Matter, and I know I heard Dee said that sometimes they get a little rowdy, but do you know that there is a group of people or some group of people that send people into the circle to make it look like they're doing bad stuff, to put a bad name on them? Half of those people that come out, they pay those people to come out and do treacherous things to make it seem as though, you know, oh, they're not protesting against anything. They're still doing the same thing. Yes, there are a lot of bad apples out there, but all of us are not bad. There are some of us that want to live in peace. We want to have the best of the best. We want to be able to move up the ladder just like everybody else. And why can't we be treated the way everybody else is treated? And I believe and I know that God is able and God will do anything but fail. I stand by it. I walk in it. But as we're having this conversation, you know, we still have to educate one another on how we have to come together in peace. You know, when we go out and protest, there should be people out there saying, hey, you know, we're going to do this peacefully. If there's anybody that want to do anything other, then you need to go and get with a different group. But we're just going to be peaceful the whole time that the cameras are here, because the cameras are there to find that person that's going to act out, that person that's going to say some crazy stuff, because that's what they want us to look like when we get on camera. But we need to pray and continue to pray that as we go out to bring a change for our people, then that it is a peaceful change.
And I have to tell you, Kathy, every time you say stuff like that or bring stuff to the table, it reminds me of things, and I'm going to have to find the video. But in that Charlottesville situation, there was a white gentleman who pulled his gun out of his pocket, loaded it, and shot at a black individual. He missed, and he was within 10 to 15 yards of police officers when he did it. And when they finally caught him, they charged him with shooting a weapon within 1,000 feet of a school. Now, he should have been charged with attempted murder. Clearly, on video, he takes the gun out of his pocket, he cocks it and points it and fires one round, turns around, puts the gun back in his pocket, and goes on about his business. Now, these are the people that President said were good people on both sides. They were, and certainly, we didn't see anybody on the other side, on the left, pull out weapons. We didn't see anybody on the left drive cars through a crowd of white supremacists. But yet, all the violence that really took place that was of any consequence was done on the right side. So, Dee, when you say that there are people out there who need to be vetted, what about on the right who they're doing all this wild stuff?
Well, you're absolutely right, and that brings me to the point. That brings me to another point where we, as the people of logic and of common sense, We the people of logic and common sense, we got double duty to do. Michelle made a point when she said that, we have to reevaluate how we react to things. I may have listened to what she said. But we gotta start to reevaluate how we react to things, because still at the end of the day, we still want to be able to go home and find some normalcy in our life. And James, before the break, you mentioned the word normal about four times in a question being asked. And so we got to understand that this is a new normal. But I want to bring up the point about the question you just asked me. What about them betting their cause? Now, Ms. Kathy did mention that, yes, people are being paid to pretend to be a part of your movement and your cause, and just to act out and taint what you're trying to do, to make you look bad. You know, that's something that the Russians have done here lately. I heard today how Facebook admitted that a lot of the ads that were being placed on their site during the campaign was actually implemented by the Russians. So the Russians are taking a espionage type of play to get their cause furthered. To take a word out of Hillary Clinton's vocabulary, the deplorables are doing the same thing. And these are the people that we are talking about. These are the deplorables. Ms. Catton mentioned a moment ago that all of them are not like that. And that's very true. All of them are not like that. They thought they want to be a part of something, but then once they find out how deplorable they are, now they want to try to get back to some normalcy. And that's where we all want to go. I think the proposal that I like to make is going to be a lengthy process, and we thought we had got beyond this. But as it turned out, they have forced our hand again. Now we're right back where we was in 1965. But we are the ones that are going to have to get people to start thinking in a more critical fashion, because everybody is thinking now and they're acting out really before they think. I think we the people, we the older black people who have experienced a lot and have gone through a lot and have adapted to much, it is our position, I do believe, is to educate other people on how to coexist again, all over again. Maybe this is our mission from God, but we got to help this thing along. Surely, protesting and letting be known our despair is part of the process. But right now, we got to educate the younger people. We got to educate the younger black people. And we also got to get the people who are not actually deplorable to rethink how Christians and God people are supposed to act and how they're supposed to respond, because now they just as lost as everybody else. But I think that we are on the same page, but it's going to be a lengthy process, but we got to do what we need to do. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take another short break, and then we'll come back and let everyone have their final thoughts.
I need some loving. sided sexual feeling.
Get up, get up, get up.
Let's make love tonight.
The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Cassie, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
My final thoughts are we, each one of us on this show, when you get us all together, we need to determine a date where we go out and we gather a group of people together so that we can begin to find solutions for this. We're in all different states, so we all can come up with ideas and take them back to the table of the people that we get together so we can go out and we can say enough is enough. You know, enough is enough. We're not going to continue to take this. We're not going to continue to stand for this. We want peace in our neighborhoods. We want peace in our cities. And we are not going to continue to allow you to treat our people the way that you're treating our people.
That is so true. I mean, we at some point we got to let people know that we're not looking to start any kind of race war. We're not looking to try to create a greater division. We just want to live in peace and to be treated the same. And we're asking for no more and no less. And you are so right. Cheryl, your final thought for this evening?
As usual, this is a very good topic, and I'm going to have to agree with Kathy just said, and that really is that we, the individuals that's on this show, have to stand behind the things that we discuss.
Yeah, we need our law enforcement officers and our mayors and our city commissioners to see these kind of videos and decide that they're not going to allow their citizens to be treated in a different fashion as this is. Could you imagine, you know, they're always telling us stop playing the race card, but could you imagine that had been a black man and he had put a white man on his knees? He would have got arrested that same day. You see what I'm saying? If the roles were reversed, we would go to jail. It would be no doubt that we'd get a message. D, your thoughts?
You know, I really like the idea that Ms. Kathy came up with. You know, because a couple of shows ago, you asked, I think it was David, how is it that they can go on a back channel of the internet and get people involved and really get so much so where they get a person elected president? And I think that's the answer. We got to start. We should question. We should have a specific reason to go out and start talking to people. I remember when I used to sell insurance as a younger man, my training agent used to ask me, how many people have you talked to today? And I think that's the key. We need to start recruiting people to come and even just be a part of this show, if nothing else. Recruit people. Come in, be a part of this show, and then they'll better understand where we are and where we are trying to go. So I'm going to start talking to people and see if I can get them to tune in. And a lot of them probably do, because I have been doing such. They said they would tune in, but they just have not actually participated in the show yet. So I hope that's the case. But that's the thing. You got to start recruiting. Thank you.
And I just want to say, you guys, again, I'm going to email the video to Kathy and Dee and to everybody, because I want everybody to watch it. But what's even more wrong with it, what I just came to my mind, is that if a black man had done that to a white man, there would be some penalty. You see what I'm saying? That would be a serious penalty. This man, when you all watch the video, I want you all to text me back and tell me what you think, because it is just vile. I mean, that the black man says, I don't want to get in trouble, and I just want to be treated fairly. And he was put on his knees at gunpoint in fear for his life. And then this man didn't go to jail. This man is waiting for his punishment. But again, we know what happens when you wait for your punishment. You know, there may or may not be any punishment. So, again, I want to just make sure you all get the video and get what it is you believe or think. And you're right. We need to start just doing something that really says we are against the way we're being treated. And if you're treated like that in Alaska, then you're treated like that in Florida. And if you're treated like that in Florida, you're treated like that in Louisiana. You're treated like that in Georgia. California. So wherever this despicable behavior is done, it shouldn't be tolerated. See you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.